decisions and you just say, I'm going to grow facial hair. I know you women have that thought all the time, right? No. But it's something about men that we just want to go on vacation. I'm not going to shave. I'm rebelling. And then you think, I'm going to start doing all this cool stuff. You try to do designs. Anyway, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but good morning, right? Good morning. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3. I loved starting the service by singing the song Indescribable. That song is special in our household. We have different soundtracks that as our kids would go to sleep at night, they would listen to certain songs, and Indescribable was on one of these soundtracks. And I have visions and memories of Brady, specifically Brady at the time, singing that song. And it just means so much to me. And I want us just to, I want to read you the first verse again. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall, how about that? To the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings. All exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck. We fall to our knees and we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Powerful words, so true, so rich. How creation reveals his majesty. And we've been talking about that over the last couple of weeks. And I want to continue talking about that theme of God being revealed, God being glorified through his creation, more specifically, you. Okay? We'll get over to Exodus 3 in just a moment, but I have a couple other passages I'm going to put up on the screen here. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 20, it says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You know, I love creation, and there's no doubt that one of the best ways to see God's creation, to see God, is through his creation. The song, it talks about from the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring. This time of year, the leaves changing colors is just amazing. To see the seasons come and go. You ever seen shows called like Storm Chaser, and they like go after storms? Our family's not like that kind of family. We don't like storms in our house. But we are sunset chasers. That's a little bit better, isn't it? There was one day we were coming across, I think, McGinnis Ferry, and we were heading towards Satellite, and man, we turned the corner, and that sun was going down, and it was just like the most beautiful, and we kept wanting to see more. And so we kept driving. We took a detour home. We turned around, actually. We did a U-turn and went a different way so we could try to catch the beauty of that sunset. We're sunset chasers. Some of us, a staff, and Cuddy went with us, and we went up to a lake house, and we were on Lake Lanier, and we were cruising around, and Cuddy was driving our boat, and we chased that sunset, and we sat and just were in awe, and then just of God and his power. It's beautiful. You guys know those memes that are out there that say, said no one ever? You know what I'm talking about? That sunset is ugly, said no one ever. I mean, you think about it. I send a Snapchat to some different people. The other night, I was leaving the ball field going to SNL, and I took a picture of the sunset. It was just beautiful. And you see people screenshotting it. That night that we were on the lake, I think Lexi Middleton screenshot I remember that. That's a good memory, don't I? But she took a screenshot of that picture of the sunset. We all are just amazed at God and his power through his creation. Then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul is reminding the church in Ephesus that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's workmanship. We are his artwork. We are his masterpiece. Amen? We are designed to be his glory on display. When he created you, exactly how you are, I want you to bring me glory. We're all unique. We're all special. David mentioned that last week. We all have something unique and special that we can bring to the table. The key is for us to discover what that calling is. And once you discover that calling, you take it a step further and live into that calling. But here's a problem. Many of us feel like we're called to more than what we're actually doing. Does that make sense? I feel like there's more to what I'm supposed to do. I feel like, God, I'm not there yet. And that can be frustrating. We're still waiting to discover, what is it, God, that I am created, that you designed me to do? What is it? And so, with not knowing, there's that uncertainty. There's that frustration that I mentioned. There's fear a little bit, because you have this deep desire to live into this calling, but you just haven't discovered it yet. It maybe hasn't been revealed, or maybe, we'll talk about this here in a minute, it has been revealed, you're just not aware, and you're not paying attention. This morning, I want us to look at a man who didn't realize his calling. He couldn't see how God was going to use him. You might have heard of this guy. His close friends call him Mo. You've probably seen a movie about him, The Prince of Egypt. He's better known as Moses. Let's look here in Exodus chapter 3. So we're going to do a little reading here this morning and kind of break things down as we go. And so stay with me, hold tight. So in Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that bush, that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, hey, I'll go over and I'll see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Here I am. I don't know how he said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses, he hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. So what's Moses doing? He's minding his own business. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's hired to work for his father-in-law, Jethro, tending the sheep. And God gets his attention. He's intrigued by this fire that wouldn't burn out. He's curious, isn't he? So he's like, I'm going to go check that out. He paid attention to a sign that was there. He didn't ignore the sign. He listened to that nudge of the Spirit. When God tries to get our attention, I think we need to pay attention. There's times that God was like, I don't know my calling. Why am I created? Well, God sometimes has been trying to reveal it to you, but we're ignoring the signs. Does that make sense? There's more to what our lives are supposed to be, but we're not attentive to what God has laid before us. So when God saw that Moses went over to the bush, he was like, all right, I got him. I got his attention. And what's he do? He calls him by name. Just as that song about he knows the stars, he calls each one by name. He called Moses by name. Moses, Moses. So then Moses kind of responds with that, yeah, here I am. But then right after God kind of tells him, this is who I am, what happens? He freaks out, doesn't he? He gets scared. He becomes afraid. I don't want to look at God. That fear starts to settle in. Why is God calling me? What does God want to do with me? What is his design? What is his plan for my life? I'm cool here. I'm tending these sheep. I guess that's what I'm meant to do. Is there more to it? I don't know, God. Why are you calling me? You know, God, what happens is God hears the cry and has heard the cry of the people of Israel. And he is ready. He's willing to rescue them. So he talks about that there, going down to verse 10. God says, so now I want you to go. I want you to go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses, he said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? It's like, who am I? God calls Moses. Moses says, excuse me, you've got the wrong number. Moses, I'm sorry, you got the wrong number. This is not the guy that's going to take the people of Israel out of Egypt. I'm not that guy. Who am I that I should go? I'm a nobody. I'm just a shepherd. And don't you remember what just happened back when I saw one of the Egyptians beating up a Hebrew? You know what I did? I went and I killed the Egyptian. And then I killed him and then I hit him in the sand and I buried him. You don't want me to be the guy to take these people out. This is who I am. Can we relate? Who am I? We can feel like we're inadequate. We're not the right person for the job. I'm way underqualified for that job. I'm sorry. I can't even put my name in the hat. Maybe sometimes it could be the flip side of that, and you feel a little overqualified for whatever the task might be. Well, I'm too good for that. Somebody else can do that. There's different sides of the coin there. But then God says, listen, I will be with you. Tell them I am sent you. So then in chapter 4, doubt starts to creep into Moses, into his mind, into his thoughts. In verse 1 of chapter 4, Moses answered, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? And they say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? A staff. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and that joker took off. He hightailed it out of there. He said, boo, what? Ah! You know, he's out. He was gone. He's like, I'm scared. Who is this? What are you doing? I'm scared of snakes. How am I going to lead these people out? He told him again, reach it out, take it by the tail. The other night, I heard this crash upstairs. And I heard a squeal and a scream, and it was Megan. And slamming of a door because a roach came creeping through. And
I was like, what's going on? You gotta get up here.
We couldn't find it. Could you imagine me saying, Megan, you need to grab that roach. I want you to hold that roach. That's like the worst thing in the world for her. You know, that's how it is with me. And roaches don't, whatever, man. I'm like, I'll step on it. I'll squish it. I'll kill it. We didn't find that one, actually. So it's still roaming around in our house. I do have those fake roaches that I want to put in the bed one night, you know, and just kind of, she rolled up. I thought of that, yes, many times, but I've been wise in my choices and not gone there. But I really wasn't going to talk much about this whole snake piece here, but that just kind of brought back some memories there, so I wanted to talk about that for just a minute. But then he goes on, kind of that doubt issue, you know, it's like, I can't be the guy. What if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? Check out in verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue." I can't do that. I can't lead these people. I can't talk to them. I can't demand and control an audience. I'm not that kind of guy. That's not who I am. Check out verse 11. The Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. Don't you know that you are my masterpiece? You are my artwork. You are going to be what's on display to bring glory to my name. I'm going to use you. I didn't make a mistake. Do you feel like, God, I don't know what you were thinking when you made me. What's something unique that I have to bring to the table? What do I have to offer this world, my community, my family, my church? Moses, he begs God to send someone else in verse 13. Oh Lord, please send someone else to do this. I know you make everything and you create us, but please send someone else. The Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, okay, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? Got a little frustrated, because Moses still wasn't believing that God could use him, answering that call. But he helps out Moses here, right? God's a gracious God, and he has patience beyond patience, doesn't he? And he says, all right, how about your brother? We'll send your brother with you. Have him speak for you, for me. Go to Pharaoh. But Moses goes with him. I think Moses had the plan of, hey, send somebody else. Let them go, right? I'll stay back. I'm cool. I'm comfortable. But no, you're going with him. You're going to learn some things. And I'm going to use you, buddy. I'm going to use you. So we're going to fast forward through chapters 7 through 11. It's a great study about the plagues and all the things that God did to try to soften Pharaoh's heart. Chapter 12, Pharaoh finally lets God's people go. Chapter 14, what happens? Pharaoh changes his mind and says, I'm going to go back after you guys. I'm going to bring you back to slavery. So we're in chapter 14 now, aren't we? Let's look in verse 12. This is the people of Israel. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in a stinking desert. It's like, didn't you? We told you, leave us alone, man. It's all right. We're having to work through it, but we'll be okay. Leave us alone. What are you doing to us? Verse 13. Moses. Who answered the people? Moses. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. One of the most famous, Exodus 14, verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Come on, give it up for Moses. Look at Mo. He is just like, who is this guy? Right? Who is he? The guy that's like, I'm not the man. Send somebody else. Moses, he steps up. He starts living into that calling that God had planned for him. Look at that growth. Look at that growth that we see in him. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And then check out what God says. Oh my goodness. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Hold on, God. Jesus, they're the same, so we can say Jesus too. Hold up. I just told these people to chill out, to be still. You're going to fight for them, to cry out to you. And God says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move. Now, I believe God's all about us praying, right? Amen. We need to be men and women of prayer. It's something that we've been a huge, huge focus. It's been our focus this year. But I think what God's saying here is at some point you got to take some action. Live into that calling that you've been praying about. Open your eyes. Go. Move. Get to stepping. And that's what they did. They did. They finally got up and they started moving. And they led them, the Israelites, across the Red Sea. Who led them? Moses led them. Moses freed God's people. What amazing growth. I mean, so just think about that for a moment. Apply that to your life. We're going to finish up here in just a little bit and kind of give you some questions to think about. But how are we not answering that call? What is it that God has got for you? And maybe you don't know it yet. Well, let's pray about that. Let's listen to him. Let's be still. But then when it's time, God says, let's get to stepping. And let's start moving. Let's start putting some things into practice. Let's look over in chapter 18. We'll close out with this text here. Moses gets a visit from his father-in-law, Jethro, who he'd been working for. You know, then Moses took the people across the Red Sea. And so Jethro's going to come and just see how the family's doing. And Jethro is fired up. He is happy to hear all the great things that God has done. We're going to pick up in verse 13 of Exodus 18. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people standing around you from morning until evening? Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me. And I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work, it is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen to me, and I'll give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representatives before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties that they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Verse 22, have them serve as judges for the people at all times. But have them bring every difficult case to you, and the simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. Church, this hit me straight in the mouth this week as I was reading it. I was studying it, and I was enjoying the study of Moses. And I got to this point, I was kind of going through, and I was skipping through some of the plagues, and I was getting to this point here, and I was like, let me read here with his interaction with his father-in-law. And it just like, the words just came out from the page. And that's me. It's exactly what I've been going through the last few months, few years. You know, sometimes I feel like, okay, God, I preached about making an impact, and God has given me an opportunity, a platform to make an impact in so many different ways. But what happens once you answer a call, for me, I feel like, okay, this is my calling, so then I've got to do it. I've got to be the man. I've got to step up, and I've got to do it by myself. And I become self-reliant. I don't use who God has put around me to help carry the load. You know, Jethro says, why do you sit as judge alone? Buddy, what you're doing is not good. You're going to wear yourself out. This work's too heavy for you. You cannot handle this alone. You need to teach them. You need to show them the way to live. Select some people, capable people, God-fearing, trustworthy people. Appoint them to help you. Have them serve. The load will be lighter because they're sharing it with you. Everyone will be satisfied. Man, I needed to hear that. I've been confessing. Whenever I preach, I feel like I just confess to you guys. And I confessed about how I don't like my neighbors. Last time, appreciated Sherman and his words there. And I'm working on it, you know, and but I'm just being open with you guys. And here's a confession: I like being missed. I like to be missed. You're like, what do you mean? I'll explain it. I go out of town. A couple weeks ago, I went out of town, and I'm not here on a Sunday. There's something inside of me that likes it when I come back the next week. And someone says, Josh, oh, brother, give me a hug. We missed you so much last week. It's not the same without you. You know what that does? It makes me feel good inside. That makes me, I like being missed. But as much as I like hearing those words, I know that it's not good for me. It's not healthy. Because what that means is it's about me. It's not about God. It's not putting the display on God and shining it on him, our good works, so that men will see God. What that leads to is me wearing myself out, trying to carry it all by myself. It gets me to be a place where I burn out. You probably heard a little bit about preachers, ministers, pastors burning out. Why is that? Well, it's because we feel like, hey, God has called me to this work of ministry, and let me put my nose to the grind and let me go at it. And I don't include those around me. And something that I've been, it's really been, I mean, literally for the last couple of years, I've been praying about this a lot. About not being the spotlight leader, where it's not just about me, but I want to turn that spotlight, obviously on God, but also on other people and shine it out so other people can use their gifts. And so one thing I talked about and really been praying about is needing to replace myself. This isn't an exit speech. I'm not leaving. But I need to replace me. Within student ministry, if I left the teen ministry, Megan and I, whatever happened, we were gone. How would the student ministry, would it continue on? Is it set up to the point, or is it all dependent upon me and my plan and my thoughts and my lessons? Or am I spreading that wealth to other people? Within worship, if Josh isn't here, will worship go on? That's the things that I think about. Oh, how will the transitions be? And will they know when to do this and do that? I need to teach them. I need to train them. And I need to trust them. I need to teach people, train them, and trust them. Because it's not only that it's not good for me, but it's not good for others. In order for people to grow, I've got to let go. And this is something, church, that I'm working on. Something you can pray for me to really release, to surrender, I'm a control freak. I like being in control. I know how I like things to be done. And I know how I'll do it, and I like how I do it, and so that's how I want it. I've joked before, I think I showed a picture before of our dishwasher, how I like the dishes to be put in the dishwasher a certain way, because if you don't put them the certain way, cups will flip over, and they'll get all that water in there and all the goo in the bottom of it, and you get to wash it again, and that's just frustrating. And so I like to go in there, and I look, and I see I can move this coffee cup, and I can put more here. There we go. It's perfect. Woo, I feel good. I can go to bed at night. Right? That's just who I am. I'm just a control freak. I can do it myself. I can do it better. That's all pride, guys. Just thinking I'm prideful. It stinks, man. I hate being prideful, but I am. I'm prideful. I was talking to my mom the other day, just kind of sharing with her a little bit, and she goes, she starts laughing. And she's, oh, honey, you get it honest. You get it so honest. That's exactly how she is. She shared an example of they have like a connection center type thing where they do all their storage, and this one, she has everything exactly where she wants it. And this other lady's like, I'm going to come in, and I'm going to do the storage room, and I'm going to put it in boxes. And mom's just like freaking out, like, no, I'm never going to know because I like it the way that I do it. Apple didn't fall far too far from that tree. She might have a lot more kids because I think you probably can relate to me, right? You like being in control. I like doing it my way. We don't let go. And I've got a sermon next week. I don't know if David will let me preach it, but I was telling Cuddy earlier. I said, man, I got so much stuff. I want to preach next week too. But if I don't, I'll come back some other time. But here's the deal. When people are empowered to do what they are created to do, fireworks. When people are empowered to do what God created them to do, it's magical. And let me tell you, it's been amazing to see what happens and to witness what happens when I get out of God's way. To let God be God, allow His creation to do what His creation is created to do. To glorify Him through people's lives. For people to glorify Him through their gifts and their talents. And I've seen this firsthand. I'm just going to go through a list. I've got some people that it has been so refreshing for me. It has been, and I feel like I'm at a place now where I'm happy to see that this is going on. I don't feel this competitive nature that's battling with inside me that I have before. I feel like I'm at a place now that I feel like God is allowing me to surrender some of these things. You know, we've got some new high school Edge Ministry small group leaders. Mike Bird and Anna Needley have been just amazing. Of just coming in and loving the students. And man, the things that they do, the connections that they make are deeper, far more than the connections that I've made with some of the students. And that's how it's supposed to be, because that's how God created them. God didn't create everybody to like me and to completely connect with me. Because guess what? I'm a sinner, and I hurt people's feelings, and I don't relate to certain people. That's okay, because God created me this way, but God also created Mike to be Mike, and created Anna to be Anna, and to connect. This morning, Leslie led us in worship. Man, I'm just fired up, let me tell you. To have someone that is passionate, that God created Leslie to lead worship. To see her heart and her mind and every, just how it just comes together and us partnering together, it has just been like, it's been a perfect match. I've been so excited and so grateful to say, Leslie, I'm giving you this Sunday. I'm stepping out. If you need me to help you in any way, but look, let go, Josh, let go. Let go. And oh man, if I just, I mean, last week's worship to me was one of the best, and those are not my ideas. That's Leslie. That's Leslie. And I'm so grateful that God created Leslie to be Leslie. Kathy Jack, preschool ministry, Creation Station, she's there. She can't let that baby go. She's holding on. Now let go a little bit, right? We can't be that controlling. But, you know, come, maybe come sit over here. Come on. Come on, Kathy. You can do it. You can do it. No. Oh, man, she's holding on. That wall's not going to fall down. But no, I mean, she is in her element, guys. She loves those children. I miss not having a kid down here. She's amazing. Ann Gregory, large group, FX Live. What I love about Ann is Ann could come up here and she could out-act all of us. But she gives it to other people, and she allows them to be in that. And that's awesome. That's amazing what she does. Steve Gooch, men's ministry, the prayer movement. I mean, God created Gooch to inspire people. I mean, it's like it's he's created for that. Amen for that. We need men like that to set us up, to push us, to get us out of our comfort zones, to not stay back and say, no, you're going to go too. Come on, right? Not forcing you, but giving you a little nudge. Kim Bloom, Bible journaling. I mean, holy smokes, this woman is God-given talents. Inspirational artwork, it's become her life. It's become her job. She's taken something and it's like, okay, God, I've tried all these other things, but now I think God is putting her in this. This is your calling. Do something with it. Glorify me with it, through it. I mean, that's amazing. Kim Vance, I don't know if she's here today. I try to like to point kind of the direction. There she is, Kim. I miss you in your outfit. I was looking for your outfit. Listen, guys, what an amazing heart for children in need. She's a foster mother. They're a foster family. Operation Christmas Child. I mean, don't even go to her house and her, they can't, they're, all their cars are out in the, at least they have a long driveway, so they don't have to park on the street like my neighbors do. But go in her garage and there's, I'm not going to tell you how many boxes that they're planning to make, but they're, well, what an amazing heart. Toys for Tots. It's like she gives away stuff at Trunk or Treat. I mean, people just are here for the gifts, and then they all leave. We're like, where, come on, we still got some music. We're going to dance. They leave because of what they, their generosity. And on top of all that, she's a small group leader within our high school ministry. Just a heart. God has blessed her with that. God created her, and she's living into that calling. There's more. There's more. We could stand up here and I could have y'all come up and share, and we could be here for another 2 hours talking about ways that God is working through people. And what I had to learn is get out of the stinking way. Allow God to use these people. What's God calling you to do? Write down these questions. What is God calling you to do? What is the Spirit stirring in your heart? Think about this. What do you love? What do you hate? All right, so that might help you a little bit there. Don't do that if you hate that. It's like, I can't stand teenagers. Don't come talk to me, all right? What do you love? What makes you happy? What fuels you? What energizes you? How about start right there? Start there. What does your world need? Think about your world. What is it missing? There's that famous quote, be the change that you want to see in the world, right? Be the change that you want to see in the world. The world needs you to be you. We as a church, we need you to be you. And I want us to get out of these walls, right? I mean, there's some examples I'm giving you of some things that we're doing here, But God wants us and has called us to be that light to everybody, right? This is just some ways here. There's ways that you can serve here, but this isn't just it. This isn't our little bubble. God wants us to be out there. What is God doing in calling you? What's that burning bush that's just flaming over there, and you're kind of like, well, I don't know what that is. There's a lot of forest fires going around right now. We're in a drought season, and maybe that's not for me. Maybe that is. What is it that God's trying to do to get your attention? Let's listen to him. Listen for him to call your name. Look for those opportunities. Look for an open door for his glory to be on display through you and through me. Let's pray.